Fit the First. After the siege and the assault had ceased at Troy, the city being destroyed and burned to brands and ashes, the warrior who wrought there the trains of treason was tried for his treachery, the truest on earth. This was Aeneas the Noble. He and his high kindred afterwards conquered provinces and became patrons of well-nigh all the wealth in the West Isles. As soon as rich Romulus turns him to Rome, with great pride he at once builds that city and names it with his own name, which it now has. Tychius turns to Tuscany and founds dwellings. Longobard raises homes in Lombardy, and far over the French flood, Felix Brutus establishes Britain joyfully on many broad banks, where war and waste and wonders by turns have since dwelt, and many a swift interchange of bliss and woe. And when this Britain was founded by this great hero, bold men loving strife bred therein, and many a time they wrought destruction. More strange things have happened in this land since these days than in any other that I know. But of all the British kings that built here, Arthur was ever the most courteous, as I have heard tell. Therefore, I mean to tell of an adventure in the world which some count strange and extraordinary, even among the wonders of Arthur. If ye will listen to this lay but a little while, I will tell it forthright as I heard it told in town, as it is set down in story that cannot be changed, long written in the land in true words. This king lay royally at Camelot at Christmastide, with many fine lords, the best of men, all the rich brethren of the Round Table, with right rich level and careless mirth. There full many heroes tourneyed betimes, jousted full gaily, then returned these gentle knights to the court to make carols. For there the feast was held full 15 days alike, with all the meat and the mirth that men could devise. Such a merry tumult, glorious to hear, joyful din by day, dancing at night, all was high joy in halls and chambers, with lords and ladies as pleased them best. With all the weal in the world they dwelt there together, the most famous knights, save only Christ, the loveliest ladies that ever had life, and he, the comeliest of kings, who holds the court. For all this fair company were in their prime in the hall, the happiest troop under heaven with the proudest of kings. Truly, it would be hard to name anywhere so brave a band. When New Year was fresh and but newly come, the court was served double on the dais. As soon as the king with his knights was come into the hall, the chanting in the chapel came to an end. Loud was the cry there of clerks and others. Noel was celebrated anew, shouted full often, and afterwards the great ones ran about to take Hansel, called aloud for New Year's gifts. Ladies laughed full loud, though they had lost, and he that won was not wroth, that may ye well trow. All this mirth they made till the meat time. When they had washed, worthily they went to their seats, the best man ever above, as it best behooved. Queen Guinevere, full beauteous, was set in the midst, placed on a rich dais adorned all about. Fine silk at the sides, a canopy over her of precious cloth of Toulouse, and tapestries of Tars, that were embroidered and set with the best gems that money could buy. Truly, no man could say that he ever beheld a comelier lady than she, with her dancing gray eyes. But Arthur would not eat till all were served. He was so merry in his mirth, and somewhat childlike in his manner. His life pleased him well. He loved little either to lie long or to sit long, so busied him his young blood and his wild brain. And another custom moved him also, that he through chivalry had taken up. He would never eat upon such a